So, have you ever lost or misplaced something? I don't misplace things very often, but when I do, there's a kind of a standard I go to. I just start looking around frantically with no plan in sight. So I'm just looking everywhere, not really thinking about what I'm actually looking at. Could I find my keys maybe in like the refrigerator? I've opened the door and looked in the refrigerator. So looking for a lost item in all these wrong places kind of came to mind as I was going through today's gospel. Losing something describes this person's quest as they're looking everywhere, looking all around in all these wrong places, trying to find that item. And this scenario came to mind because I believe losing something can describe something else within each of us. Something that is not just a quest to find a lost item. It can describe the way that we who are human are looking for something to fill kind of a longing deep within each one of us. A longing that ultimately sends us seeking. So it can, in one way, be descriptive of our quest for God's presence in life. This presence that can only be revealed by a gracious God of love. We long for the dream of God, for God's kingdom, and the presence to become realized in this world and in our lives, but we tend to look for God in all the wrong places. We tend to look for God just out there someplace, up in the heavens, or someplace just far away. So today, Jesus continues to describe the kingdom of heaven. The way that we talk about God, the way that God is at work in the world. And some of his words can be a little bit surprising. He doesn't describe a kingdom that is far off in the distance, in some exalted place up there or somewhere out there. No, he describes the reign of God by using analogies that are literally very down to earth. A mustard seed, some yeast, a thief, a merchant. In his stories, he uses examples of an annoying seed and a corrupt agent. He describes qualities that seem hidden. He uses some rather corrupt characters in the process. So to kind of take a look at these parables, the parable of the mustard seed. It's one of the best known of Jesus' stories. Mustard seeds are so small that they're actually almost weightless. They can go easily unnoticed. They can lie hidden and undetected in a large sack of other seeds. So you can imagine an unsuspecting farmer just unwittingly sowing a mustard seed in his field as he's sowing his wheat and it overtaking. Because, well, mustard is actually a wild weed. It's something farmers would try to get out of the field because once it's sown, it's hard to get rid of. Jesus uses the example of this bothersome weed that grows from this small, hidden seed, but when germinated, becomes this huge bush that tends to take over the field. Jesus is describing the way God is at work in the world. And he compares it to this minuscule, annoying seed that can hardly be seen, but grows and is transformed into this life-giving tree as it becomes a place for birds to make their nest. So in this little parable, unnoticed beginnings of the work in the kingdom of God are compared with this great, even surprising result. So think about it. Can't see the seed. Were you looking in the right place? Jesus goes on and uses another example, talking about the yeast. Yeast was also an unwanted agent. During this time, it was something that bloats and rots corpses. It was also something that women would attempt to get rid of when they're cleaning their homes in preparation for Passover. Because in a Jewish tradition, yeast was a symbol of corruption and impurity. So it was considered evil and unclean. However, in Jesus' parable, we find out that yeast becomes the agent of a miraculous growth of God's kingdom. And basically, it permeates every part of dough. Like a woman who spoils the flour with yeast, God is fermenting the kingdom of heaven within the world, within communities, within each one of us. And that kingdom permeates all of creation, and it has this transforming power in this world. So in light of the stories, do we have eyes to see God's reign hidden in everyday life? Are we able to trust God's transforming presence and love in the midst of everyday life? Or are we too often looking for God, once again, in all the wrong places? So in the next story, Jesus uses an analogy of a deceitful thief. He tells the story of a man who discovers treasure buried in someone else's field. The man then quickly sells all that he has to buy the field from this other guy without telling him, the owner, about the treasure. So you got to wonder, what was this man doing anyway, digging around in someone else's field? And in light of the Jesus story, we got to ask, is God kind of like the thief who gives up all that he has to buy the whole field, the world, the cosmos, simply to possess that treasure and claim it, and the entire purchase is God's own? So can you picture a God with so much grace? Once again, have we been looking for God in all the wrong places? Jesus just continues telling one story after another. His next one's about a pearl merchant. Now, merchants were not held in the highest esteem in this ancient culture. So in this little story, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a merchant searching for that one pearl of great value. When he joyfully finds it, he sells everything that he has in order that he may buy that one pearl. So in essence, this merchant put himself out of business by radically selling all he has to make that ultimate purchase. So we have to ask, what's the most radical act through which we see God's immeasurable love for this broken world? As we keep moving through Jesus' stories, we come to the parable of the dragnet. Basically, when the net is cast into the sea, it catches all kinds of fish, good and bad. And the fishermen indiscriminately pull all the fish and wait to sort them out later. In our world, the good, the shady, the bad, they do exist all together, even within ourselves. And in this world, we often spend too much time trying to figure out who is in and who is not. So I have to say, if those fishermen are willing to pull in all sorts of fish and have them sorted later, I think we can probably let God take care of sorting in God's own good time, because God's the one who loves us the most. Jesus uses these examples of dishonest people and questionable items to describe God at work in this world. Today, Jesus shares some staggeringly good news. The reign of God is not far away, but very close at hand. It's present to us, between us as people of God, and even within us. And in the person of Jesus, we find the God of creation, not far off, but incarnate and present to us in human form. We no longer have to look in all the wrong places to find God, to find the author of love. We no longer have to look in all the wrong places to discover we are loved. The truth is, God's kingdom is closer to us than the air that we breathe. And God is at work in each one of us, even in those parts of ourselves that we want to hide. God is even embracing our brokenness and transforming us in the process. The kingdom of God is still under construction, and we are still under construction. But that kingdom is growing. The good news is that God so loves the world that God is continually at work in our lives in this world in order to draw us in love, closer and closer to God's self and to each other. Amen.